George Steinbrenner, owner of the New York Yankees, died yesterday at the age of 80. A lot changed in the city of New York since he bought the team for $8.2 million back in the early 70s at a low point for the Yankees, a low point for New York, a low point for baseball in some sense, and he rode it all the way to the top. The Yankees worth well over $1 billion at the time that he died. Joining us now is Jonathan Mahler, author of Ladies and Gentlemen, The Bronx is Burning, 1977, Baseball, Politics, and the Battle for the Soul of the City. Good morning, Jonathan.
Good morning.
You know, I'm anxious to talk to you because really your book is about a shift in the psychology of New York that took place in the 70s. And thinking about George Steinbrenner yesterday when we got the announcement of his death, Steinbrenner was really a part of that psychological change for New York, for the idea of sports businesses, and certainly for the idea of the Yankees. How did you see it?
Yeah, I think that's right. I mean, you have to remember that when Steinbrenner bought the Yankees, I mean, not only was the franchise doing quite poorly, having not won a pennant in something like 9 years, which is, you know, an eternity for the Yankees, but also, I mean, the Bronx was just in shambles. The grand concourse, the great sort of boulevard of the Bronx that was once compared to the Champs-Élysées was, you know, essentially sort of bombed out, and the grand hotel there where the ballplayers once stayed was now a welfare hotel, and the city was really in kind of a bad place and in seriously low spirits. And, you know, Steinbrenner bought low. And even as he became this kind of symbol of free agency and a kind of a caricature and a person who was really kind of both in New York and nationally loathed and ridiculed, he sort of rebuilt the franchise and was part of kind of the rebirth of New York. It's a sort of an odd thing to say given how disliked he was, but it's true. He was part of the kind of rebirth of the city that you know was also led, of course, by figures like Ed Koch.
Sure. It's ironic, though, that his part in the rebirth of New York would be, would begin with an overreach or a series of overreaches that really made him that ridiculed figure. Remind us of why Billy Martin was hired and fired 5 times by George Steinbrenner.
Well, it might take an actual psychologist to answer that question, but I think that Steinbrenner, of course, when he bought the Yankees, made the obligatory step. I mean, here he was a shipbuilder from Cleveland,
right,
who knew nothing about baseball, and he made the kind of obligatory promise that he was not going to meddle in the team's day-to-day affairs, that he was going to be kind of an absentee owner from Cleveland. But of course, you know, who could resist the pull of New York? So he, quickly started spending more time in New York and became an infamous micromanager of his team, and would do things like, you know, literally try to dictate lineups to Billy Martin, to his manager. And, you know, Billy Martin was, of course, this iconic kind of scrappy Yankee who'd, you know, been on the team during its glory days with Joe DiMaggio. He'd returned to sort of manage the Yankees and to lift them out of this funk, and he was this great hero to New Yorkers.
Famously unstable, though.
Famously unstable as well, yes, of course. I'm not getting into the darker side of Billy Martin,
sure.
But just in terms of the, I think really generally the perspective of the city, Martin was the good guy, and Steinbrenner was the bad guy who was, stepping all over and really abusing this icon, this Yankee icon. So that sort of played out over the course of many years, and really just made Steinbrenner even more disliked, in New York, and meanwhile, sort of nationally, people couldn't stand Steinbrenner either because he was the guy who was trying to buy a pennant. He was sort of soiling the purity of this game.
And in the 1980s, George Steinbrenner's overreach led to him being banned from baseball. Describe what he did in the pursuit of a player who he felt was being overpaid.
Yeah, well, he essentially had him trailed to try to dig up dirt on him so he could get rid of him.
Dave Winfield.
Yes, and then this comes, of course, after his involvement in sort of illegal campaign contributions to the Nixon campaign in the 1970s, early 1970s, which also had him banned from baseball. Of course, no one actually believed that he was in fact not continuing to manage the day-to-day operations of the team while he was officially banned from baseball. But that was
But that's the amazing part of it. I mean, he was banned for life from baseball, but at the very moment he was banned, and at the very moment people just sort of said, oh, Steinbrenner, of course he's kind of a thug. We knew that.
Yeah.
The ban, at the moment of its inception, was really ludicrous because ultimately no one could imagine baseball without George Steinbrenner. The shipbuilder had merged himself with the game so successfully that the ban couldn't actually hold.
Yeah, I think that's right. And I think, the game's economy was, in a sense, sort of becoming dependent on George Steinbrenner, because the Yankees come to town and everyone comes out to watch. I mean, he was not only kind of lifting up the Yankees as a franchise, he was sort of lifting up all of baseball and driving all this interest in baseball.
And certainly the place in the South Bronx where Yankee Stadium once stood, it's being demolished now, there's a new stadium now, barely even resembles what it was in the 1970s when George Steinbrenner took over the Yankees. When you go up there, either to a game or to the South Bronx, where can you go that evokes that time that's so long gone, that George Steinbrenner was so responsible for changing?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not even sure you can really see that in the South Bronx anymore. I mean, you have to keep in mind that this was a neighborhood that, it was a neighborhood where my father once grew up many years ago in a, kind of middle-class Jewish neighborhood. But by the 1970s, it was losing something on the order of like 10 square blocks a year to arson fires. Mm-hmm. So, you'd walk down a block and you would see essentially charred hulks of buildings. And all of that is really gone now. So I don't know that you can even really see the sort of real sort of physical evidence of the transformation. I think it's more something that you need to sort of recall or see photographs of.
It requires an archaeologist. But everywhere you look nowadays up there in the South Bronx off the Major Deegan Expressway, you see the things that George Steinbrenner built. George Steinbrenner, who died at age 80 yesterday, the owner of the Yankees. Jonathan Mahler, author of Ladies and Gentlemen, The Bronx is Burning, 1977, Baseball, Politics, and the Battle for the Soul of the City. The Bronx isn't burning anymore. Thank you, Jonathan.
My pleasure.